Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Oh, hey there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. I'm Gregor, he's Brandon, we've done this for a long time, and if you need a backstory, go back to a previous episode, because I'm not going to set it up right now. Hi, Brandon!
Hey!
Hi!
How long have we done this one?
This podcast, you and I we're on our sixth season of Full 90 Soccer Time.
As long as we release one episode each season, it's like it maintains it. Okay, cool.
It counts. Yeah, we did 12 last season.
Yeah, so. For the 30 matches that they played.
And this is season 2, and I think we did 40 episodes last year. So yeah. Something like that. And so this is like, kudos to us. It's pretty dope like that. Anyway, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, and perhaps even occasionally what we get right. And let me just tell you, you are in store today for us getting a lot wrong. It's going to be awesome.
Last week, we asked you to tell us on Twitter, we just asked the question of what you thought of. I mean, we talked at length about what you and I thought about a... What first comes to mind when you hear the word centipede? And you know, you thought of a human centipede. I thought of a man with
ATM baby,
100 horse legs. our buddy Siege. We asked the question on Twitter: what do you think of without any of that context? And Siege says, per I think his friend Brooke says, for me, a centipede would be a horse head / horse body with 100 little centipede legs. So not a person with 100 horse legs, but a horse with 100 centipede legs.
Great. I honestly did not understand that, and so I'm really glad that you were able to enlighten me on that. So
yeah.
It's exciting stuff. I'm really excited for today. Specifically, we have a lot of centaur talk coming up in just a few minutes. I do have a very simple question of the week that I want you to think of because I come back to it. So okay. The question of the week.
How many hearts do centaurs have?
Yeah.
Is that something I should know? How many? Is that like a cow has 4 stomachs, so a centaur has 69 hearts?
I think a giraffe has multiple hearts to pump the blood up to that long neck, right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So we'll do some general nerd talk stuff, and then we'll get to centaurs here in just a few minutes.
So does that mean like you could, like, you know how worms, I don't exactly know what like the biology of like an earthworm is, but if you like cut a worm in half, it can just be 2 worms now? or maybe that was just like something that my mom told me, so I didn't feel bad about accidentally cutting a worm in half.
Yeah, I don't think that works.
I'm pretty sure that like there is something about like they can maybe both sides of the worm can survive for a pretty long time after getting sliced in half.
Why don't you, as Aaron would say in the comments, why don't you give it a bing?
Yeah.
find out for us while I get the first story cooking here.
I'm just saying, should we cut a giraffe in half and see if each side of it would survive with its individual heart?
What do you call it when you do a cross section in half?
Oh, yeah. It's like a hemisect, I think, is like if you were to cut it in half, like at the belt, you know?
The Darth Maul, yeah.
Right. But then I don't know what it's called, but if you were to like split it in two down the middle.
Yeah, if you make a cross section.
Right.
Yeah, what is that?
If you peel back the giraffe's head on each side and John Travolta's face comes out.
Yeah, oh, I wouldn't have gone there, but yeah, I like that. Exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Now, if we're going to build some sweet-ass moon base for humans to live on up there and do weird moon stuff, one of the things that I hadn't thought of is that you're going to need, like, the infrastructure for stuff to land and take back off again. Sure, it's fine when, like, the Apollo astronauts only have to do it, allegedly, three or four times or whatever it was when they're down there driving around. But, like, if you're going to have regular people living there and moving, you're going to need a launch pad, something that's reusable. A leading idea for how to do it without having to spend a ton of money shipping stuff up there to build it is to just blast the surface where you want to have the launch pad with microwaves and melt a spot to use. Take the regolith from the dust that makes up the moon and just melt it into a glassy surface so that way you can use it over and over again. When I hear microwave, I'm like, how are you going to get all those microwaves up there? I don't know.
First, we're going to launch a rocket full of pizza pockets.
Yes. That's exactly where I go with this, actually. Yeah. It's amazing that we both got there. They'd use like a big dish thing to send the rays down from a low orbit and to cook the surface to make it flat and hard and whatever. And you smooth it out with some machine or something.
It's probably. Like a moon Zamboni, basically.
Moon Boney, yeah.
A moon Boney.
Or a loon bony, I guess.
A Zamuni.
Effectively, like you just joked, it would turn the moon into a big hot pocket where it'd be sizzling hot on the outside and still frozen on the inside. The moon is a non-active planetary body, so there's no core that's moving around within there. No magnetism that comes from it, I guess. I feel like if you're trying to get stoners to buy in on something, to tell them that we're going to do it the same way you do a Hot Pocket is exactly how to make this happen. Also tell them that you figure out how to smoke weed in space, and I think they're going to be all right. Because that's one of the things you can't do right now. You can't like smoke a joint in space. Not that I would ever do that, as pious as I am, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Because you have such a volatile structure that you're in with all that pure oxygen that if you go lighten your torch to fire up that, your bong rips or whatever, you're going to blow up the space station, bro. And so,
I thought it was because like the astronauts might know that you're smoking weed and it's in your lease agreement that you're not allowed to smoke within. And so you just go into the bathroom and then you grab a dryer lint thing and you put it over the toilet roll tube.
The wiener sucker.
Yeah. You just blow it through there, dude. It totally gets rid of the smell, bro.
I mean, that's a pretty good idea as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, how rad, dude, to think that just before we destroy ourselves here, we'll be close to finishing off a way to get on and off the moon way easier.
It just kind of like when you talk about it the way that you're talking about it, it kind of sounds like what Dr. Evil, like it sounds like a Dr. Evil plot. Like what, I'm going to melt the moon. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Sweet, dude. You go get it with $1 million, huh? Yeah. Okay.
what if like we launch the microwave thing up and then like the surface of the moon just starts going pop 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 pop,
and
just
a bunch of like moon.
We thought this whole time it was made of cheese. Turns out it's corn.
Wait, taste it. Mmm, it's
has
cheesy
the juice.
It has the juice.
It's corn. Always has been.
Yeah, I just had never considered that because one of the big problems for being on the moon is that the moon dust, it's really fine and it gets caught to everything with static electricity. And so, like, the astronauts that went down on the moon's surface, when they went back in, like, they brought all the dust in with them, and then it would get in their lungs and stuff. And like, I don't know if they had to spend a lot of time in a helmet or whatever to try and keep it before it filtered out and whatnot. But it was like, moon dust is a serious problem, which I had never considered. So,
yeah, I mean, especially if it's like, it's like moon dust that sticks to you. Like, you, I get frustrated if I'm like, you know, like the little plastic wrap that like is around a deck of cards, like a new deck of cards, and you pull the little tab around it, and then like the top part comes off, and then you slide off the bottom part. Like, if any of that just gets stuck to your hand because of the static electricity, and you like try to just like fling it off of your hand into the trash or just like anything, and it just keeps sticking to your hand every time, like that makes me.
And then you do the flick.
Yeah.
And you're like, Come on, get off me, man. And then because we have misplaced rage, that it comes out, and like that time is
exactly what I was thinking. It's like all of a sudden I go from like just like a little bit annoyed to like I'm going to never play cards again because I'm going to hold a grudge against this deck of cards, right? And I can't imagine like going into space and being like, I'm eating a lunar Hot Pocket. And then you go back into the garage to smoke your moon weed and...
And you're
just
hole.
Yeah, and you're just like covered in this stuff. And you're like, get off me, man.
Lunar dust has silicate in it, a material commonly found on planetary bodies with volcanic activity. Because it's so abrasive on the moon, it eats away layers of spacesuit boots. It destroyed the vacuum seals of Apollo sample containers. It's like serious stuff. It'll like definitely do a number on human lungs.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like never. It's not eroding. Right? Like, you don't have, like, think about even non-windy places, rocks over time erode because of just the current of the air and the water around them. Like, that's, like, on the moon doesn't have any of that.
Yeah.
So it's just spiky, spicy rocks.
That's pretty good. I like that. Anyway, it's just something to consider that's going to be a thing as we get closer to sending people back to the moon and hopefully on some sort of regular basis. I guess it's probably more hopeful on my part than anything that I want that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was NASA is like sending a bunch of people to space, and it's like they did a contest and it was just kind of normal people who were like all in college, or like some of them were college, some of them were scientists. And then like one was Steve Aoki.
Yeah. I think it's, isn't it Elon that's sending people around the moon in the
in like the SpaceX like capsule, the Dragon capsule or whatever.
Yeah
So like, I mean, maybe it's a prerequisite, because I mean we've talked about on the show, like they sent Will Shatner to space, and
yeah, but not quite.
No, right, just below, because it was on the Virgin Atlantic flight, right? So like maybe it's a prerequisite now. It's, you know how like you have like a mascots for teams, right? That, you know, like they are like the celebrity representative of a team, you know, or like they're like
that crazy thing that's for the hockey team in Philadelphia, whatever that thing
is. Gritty, like just, gritty,
yeah,
right?
Gritty, yeah.
I guess like is it going to be a prerequisite in the future? Is like any capsule that you send to space with a tourist has to have like a
Steve Aoki
celebrity on it? It's like, oh, who'd you get? Oh, I got Steve Aoki. Who'd you get? Oh man, that's pretty sweet. I got Barbara Walters.
Oh, she did. That's weirder. Just her corpse. Wait, I mean, she died. Can't we just pick someone else? Nope.
Nope.
We already agreed.
Sorry. Just like, we planned this months ago.
Like, Barbara, get away from the window. Gross.
You're like, oh man, I'm so jealous of my friend. Oh. He got Idris Elba.
Barbara Walters has leaned up against my pee tube. Now how am I supposed to smoke weed?
Not through the pee tube in the first place, man.
I mean, I wouldn't do that. What are you talking about? Steve Aoki has been announced as one of the first to be selected for the Dear Moon primary crew. That's the Japanese tycoon Yusaku Maezawa. He had a contest to bring up a full crew that will go to the moon and around and back sometime this year is what it says. And okay. I'm like, man, that's wild. You're going to trust Elon to send you to do that? I know it's other people that do it, but like...
Just like, I'm just trying to think of like who would be the most disappointing celebrity to get like... It's you.
Yeah, it's,
no, I'm thinking like, oh man, I get to go to the moon, but you have to go with Billy Zane. And you're like, okay, I mean, it's not that bad. It's not like, he's just a dude, just right?
Yeah, I always think of poor guy. He's like hurt right now or whatever, and he's evidently some sort of almost hero. But like Jeremy Renner, is that his name?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
For the Marvel world, I'm like, this. We could totally have this whole thing without him.
No, look. Don't get me wrong. I get exactly where you're coming from with that, because he's like not the Avenger. You know what I mean? But he's also the reason he's all hurt right now is because he jumped in front. This is the funny thing. He jumped in front of a snowplow to save his nephew, but it turns out he was the guy driving the snowplow, so he got
jumped
out
of it.
You're like,
I said, sort of hero.
It's like I'm creating he's just trying to create the environment in which he could be heroic.
Like, he ties the old lady to the train track, and then when the train's coming, he comes and cuts her free. And like, ha ha!
Local hero saves
Avenge
lady
this!
From. Yeah, it's like it comes out later in the news. It's like, but that's the thing, is the thing always happens where it's like, oh, I can't believe Jeremy Renner. It's like becomes national headline. He saved the life of his nephew, and then it's only in like some local news outlet down the road that it's like, oh, turns out he was the guy driving the snowplow.
He was doing donuts at the time. It was wacky.
To be fair, I live in a place that gets a lot of snow, and every time I have to blow the snow using my snowblower, it is very difficult to control. It can be very difficult to control, depending on the weight of the snow and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Paul Rudd, you're like, oh, man, his rocket got Paul Rudd. Oh, that's awesome. We got Siege. JK Siege, we love you.
I would love to go to space with Siege. I would be terrified to go to space with Siege.
Yeah, it would be terrifying.
Well, no, so they talk about you can't light a lighter to smoke weed in your spaceship.
How are you supposed to light a fart?
But can't you do cocaine?
It gets everywhere. It's so abrasive.
Can I just tell you that I banged it about whether or not a worm can live while being cut in half, and I learned something wild about these things.
Go.
Okay, so if an annelid, so I guess that's the technical term for a worm, the term worm, they said they can regenerate to some degree, and in some species you can even end up with two worms. Great, cool. The common earthworm, however, will only regenerate from one end. And so my mind goes to, okay, so you cut it in half. It's like a salamander. You cut the tail off and it just grows the tail back, right? As long as the body is still intact. Did a lot of research about cutting animals, okay? The earthworm, though, will regenerate from one side. You would think it was the side that had the brain. It's actually the tail side that regenerates. The head end always dies.
As long as the anus is intact, the worm lives on.
I can live without the head, but come on. I need that butthole.
Gonna isolate that, that's for sure. So I'd like to apologize in advance for this story. I was reading through other things, and I just kept thinking about going back to it to see, is this worth it or not? But a group of research... I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm just playing things that I say over in my head, and I'm like... Yeah.
Remember the time you made that animal sound effect and it was just awful and incredible? I gotta find that.
It was the prize goat.
I'll try to look it up, okay? Let me get after that. Anyway, the story that I kept thinking back on. A group of researchers from Emory University are looking for test subjects, and I think Gizmodo's headline puts it just wonderfully. Scientists will pay you over $4,000 to chug a diarrhea drink. Hopefully it's not the worm whose butthole Brandon is chasing after.
$4,000? Yeah. I'd have done it for free.
The idea is they're trying to create a vaccine to stop the Shigella, which is like the main nuisance that leads to dysentery, which is like the main way you died in Oregon Trail.
Right.
They're trying to stop you from pooping your pants to death. And so they've developed this vaccine. And then you have to drink something that would give you 5 to 7 days of terrible, terrible times if you have the placebo.
Or for me, it's like, eat Panda Express.
Mark that.
And look, Panda Express, please sponsor the show. Give me money. I will continue to eat there. But I'm just telling you, like 3 out of 5 times.
Just double down on that, Brandon. Just keep going. For $4,000, though, 5 days... in the bathroom, like, as long as I got my iPad charger, I'm, like, pretty okay with that.
But, yeah, but, like, okay, the question is, though, is, like, they give you the... If you
question
get
the, of the week!
If you get the placebo, they're just like, you might die of dysentery. You might be cured if this vaccine works.
To be fair, in modern countries, dysentery is not killing people these days. Okay, it's only in places that are, you know, not up to the medical standards and grade that we can potentially be at.
Yeah.
So effectively, you're white, so you should be fine, Brandon. I don't think
realistically, dysentery or I guess it'll be dehydration as well. But it's like the number one killer of infants, I think, in developing world, right? So countries where lack of hygiene or access to clean drinking water and things like that, like, that does become a huge issue. They're not just sitting there chugging diarrhea drinks, as Gizmodo might say it, but like, if they're drinking downstream from where some animals are doing their doo-doos, then...
The downstream is a poor choice of words.
I want to know who's... So you're getting paid $4,000 to chug the diarrhea drink. Who's getting paid...
It causes it. Let's just be clear. You're not... It's not like a cup of diarrhea, okay?
Okay, that
it's
makes like, me feel so much better, because I was like, who's getting paid to create the diarrhea drink?
It's Siege. Okay. No one knows who that is. That's my favorite part. We're just like referencing somebody that nobody knows.
Oh gosh, it makes so much more sense, because, like, to be honest, only just now when you said it did I realize that they're not chugging diarrhea.
Yeah, no, there's no amount of money.
Right.
Also, that's not a thing that kills babies, that they drink diarrhea and then they're...
No, they drink infected water or bad water or like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, would you do it? Would you take $4,000?
Oh, absolutely. $4,000? Are you kidding me? Like,
I mean, I have diarrhea on the regular for free, so. Give me $4,000. Like you said, give me $4,000 and an iPad. I will do whatever you want.
Can I use part of that $4,000 to buy a PlayStation? Because I'll bring the small TV in here. No big deal. Let's
perfect.
Go. I got a season of Formula One to catch up on. Let's
it's like,
go.
It's kind of like when you go to the, not that I do this, but when you go to the sperm bank, they're like, all right, we're going to give you a magazine and a cup. You're going to spend a few days. You're going to spend a couple minutes in that room.
Minutes. Okay. Sure. I'm done already. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, you handed me the magazine. Sorry. We're going to have to do this tomorrow.
Is there a place I can get cleaned up? Is that like a...
You can give me the cup first next time.
And the show has reached a new low.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, I've recovered partially, and that brings us to this week's topic. We're trying something new this week. We're here to talk about centaurs.
Can you tell me right off the bat how many hearts a centaur has?
Well, that's the question of the week, right? Question of the week.
Okay. Question of the week is, how many hearts does a centaur have?
Well, this is interesting. It's a centaur, just to clear it up real quick, is of course a half-human, half-horse hybrid featuring four limbs of an equine and the top half of a person. So it would have two bellies. You got the horse belly and chest, right? And ribs and everything. And then you got the human belly and chest. So I'm saying that you get one horse heart and one human heart. And maybe they battle. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, that's, I think that makes sense. So then you have like a horse stomach, but you're not eating horse food.
Yeah, horses eat carrots. I eat carrots.
Okay. Oh, good point. Very good point. All right, settled.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so to be clear, and this goes back to the pants question that we'll get to, I'm sure, inevitably here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is like happy trail up human, okay?
Okay.
But that's attached on to like the shoulder region of the horse. Again, quadruped with two arms in addition.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's a six. I mean, you're an insect.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 you are. Yeah, you're a centipede. No, so
not yet.
Okay, I just binged it.
Good, good, good.
How? So I said, how many hearts does a giraffe have?
Three.
Well, it said that the way that this frontiersin.org.
Yeah.
Maybe it's frontiersin.org. How many hearts do we have? This is how it starts, and I feel a little bit attacked by this. And maybe you should as well, because you're the one that gave me this information. You surely know that humans and giraffes have just one heart. Like, of all the animals that you could say that I surely know how many hearts it is, giraffes is not what I would think. It's like, you surely know that humans and gorillas have one heart, as most animals do, but they say giraffes. Octopuses and squids have three hearts. Worms have five structures called aortic arches, acting as basic hearts. Then there's some animals that have zero hearts, like my wife. Just kidding.
My wife.
My mother-in-law. No, I love both of those people, but I feel like a centaur would have two hearts and like four lungs.
What, does he just have an empty chest cavity?
Yeah, well, that's, like, I mean, that's a good...
You fill it up with a centaur gold or something,
it's not
or
something,
what?
Like, it's not something that you think about, but you would only have one penis.
Yeah, because I said happy trail up. Okay?
Right, yeah, from the happy trail up.
But now, at least it's a horse penis.
Well, so I recently saw somebody say that... you know, the expression, and I don't know how much of this we're going to be able to use, but the expression of being hung like a horse, right? Well, they said in proportion to a horse's size to its body, in proportion to that, a human would only need to have a 4-inch penis. So,
yeah.
So I got room to grow, baby.
He's a grower. Well, centaurs. I don't know how to follow that, so I'm just going to keep going. Now, they are a mythological creature from Greek mythology specifically. The first mention dates back to around 500 BC, probably just a little bit older than that. That's before, say, the Greeks completed the Parthenon. Yeah, yeah. Greeks. I got that wrong, sorry. Though they date back to Greek mythology, the Romans also had a translation for it. It was actually where we get the word centaurs from. The Greeks, and I don't speak Greek, so I'm sorry if I don't pronounce this correctly or whatever. I'm going to mess so much of this up. The Greeks called them kentauros, with a K, but that might be pronounced as a C. I don't think it is, though, but whatever. Kentauros. And the Roman translation is centaur, or probably centauros itself there. And so it's not just locked in one mythology. And I started digging around even more than that. And like a lot of different cultures have a centaur of types. And I kind of think I know where that comes from. A little bit more about them. First of all, how did we get centaurs? Any guesses, Brandon?
But the obvious route would be the Enum Claw method. But
Google, or maybe don't Google that. I don't know. It's up
Bing
to you.
It. Don't Bing it.
Yeah, Bing it.
I guess otherwise, it seems like all of the mythological stories of how creatures and gods and things like that came to be, it's always like one of the gods just couldn't keep it in his pants.
Yeah, like usually Zeus, and then he got mad at someone else for also not keeping it in their pants, and so he smites them. And
yeah. He's like, ooh, I'm a horse today, and then all of a sudden has a little baby centaur.
So you're super close, but actually 100% wrong.
Okay.
A dude to cloud. That's how.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, this has been Centaurs. Thanks for joining us. This is from the Wikipedia page, okay? The centaurs were usually said to have been born of Ixion and Nephel. Nephele, maybe?
Nephele?
Nephele, thanks.
Yeah.
The centaurs were usually said to have been born of Ixion and Nephele. As the story goes, Nephele was a cloud made into the likeness of Hera in a plot to trick Ixion into revealing his lust for Hera to Zeus. Again, jealousy by Zeus leads to a lot of problems or whatever. But instead, Ixion seduced Nephele, and from that relationship, centaurs were created. That's not a great explanation, but also, careful, that's not rain. Like all of Seattle being like, I don't use an umbrella. Well,
like maybe you should.
Well, maybe think again, because you're nasty.
Because you might become a centaur.
Yeah, a centaur. So anyway, okay, well, let me just go ahead. Let's stick that out there. No problem.
Well, so like a couple weeks ago, you asked... You asked what do you call the animal, like, what do you call these half human, half animal hybrids? And yeah. I don't think that there is like a categorical term that covers kind of all of these, you know, mythological creatures, right? Like half man, half horse, half, you know, I guess that's the biggest one. I mean, I guess is there, you know, like we talked about a griffin, right? Which is half lion, half eagle.
Ooh,
you
there's
know?
A bunch of them, yeah.
Well, so I looked up animals like centaurs, right?
Yeah.
And one of them that came up was an echidna.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, yeah.
But isn't an echidna like an animal that we already know about? Like, isn't a... don't like, echidnas are like a little... They're like little, like anteaters, kind of, right?
Oh.
Like, they're like little hedgehogs.
The definition I have is half woman, half snake. So, okay. It's more like a Medusa or something, I guess, or I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look up echidna, and what comes up is the Tasmanian short-beaked echidna is a subspecies of the short-beaked echidna endemic to Tasmania. Look at you!
You're so cute!
The echidna is from Tasmania, which is a Tasmanian echidna. Thank you, Wikipedia, you dick.
Well, wait, from mythology. Yeah, this is what I was thinking. From a mythology, echidna was a monster, half-woman and half-snake who lived alone in a cave. Oh, your mother-in-law. So, no, I don't know her at all. I'm just playing into the joke. I'm sorry.
So it kind of looks like the first picture that comes up looks like the Starbucks chick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, and then married to Typhon, which maybe is Typhoon, and was the mother of many of the most famous monsters of Greek mythology.
Whoa.
Wow. This is so cool. Kenna was born to a she who was probably meant by Hesiod to be the sea goddess Ceto, making Echidna's likely father the sea god Phorcys.
Whoa.
Okay, well, whatever. That's...
you get, like, the Gorgons. You get, like, the...
Wait, what's
the
Gorgon?
A Gorgon.
Oh, that's the thing from that show, right?
Yeah, they were... I think that they were, like... It's kind of like a Medusa thing, where their hair was snakes. And they... I think they were specifically women. I mean, like, a lot of
what is a male Gorgon called? Snake men.
Snake.
That's what it's called. Medusa is a Gorgon. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. So you said that there was a there's a lot of mythology around the world of half man, half horse, right?
Yeah. And I have a good explanation coming up.
Well, yeah, so I kind of want to hear what your explanation, your theory is.
Okay, let's get there in just a second. There's another thought to how we got centaurs, and that is that another version, however, makes them children of Centaurus, a man who mated with the Magnesian mares. So you want to talk about Enum Claw,
that's a
representing
sexy horse.
Southern Puget Sound. Here we have Centaurus. He was either himself the son of Ixion and Nephele, or of Apollo and the nymph Stilbe. So that seems like scientifically what you would expect is like half dude, half horse, and that's what they would come up with in their, you know, 500 BC brains or whatever.
Right.
But the origin story is... like, it's thought that the centaurs became myth because of 5G activating the vaccines.
Obviously.
Yeah, and so now after a group of non-steed, like non-horseback riding humans, encountered a nomadic hunting culture, and they'd never seen a human able to ride a horse.
Oh, interesting.
And so, you know, and then like lore happens to... like if you you know, if you take the same picture over and over and you just keep Xeroxing it, it gets fuzzy.
Well, it's like playing telephone, right?
Yeah.
Like you tell your kids' generation that we saw a man atop a horse, and they tell their kids' generation that they saw a man atop a horse, and then over time it becomes fuzzier and fuzzier until there's we saw a man who was a horse, and then it becomes half man, half horse.
And that's just assuming that it wasn't because they were like they were like Monet and had bad eyesight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just assuming that, like, since glasses weren't widely available, like, that just some, the person that saw it was like, no, that was It had four hooves. I could hear it clapping, but it was also a man, and it shot an arrow into my neck.
What I mean, what if it turns out that centaurs were just like the ancient equivalent to two kids on top of each other wearing a trench coat? It was like this the torso of a man with really small legs and then a horse with a really small head that were like, look, neither of us are going to be accepted as strong men in our cultures.
And so. I have a trench coat, so... This wizard gave me his robe, so let's go. Yeah, so, and then it starts to make more sense that you see it in other cultures. The Russians have a version, the Welsh have a version, the Indians have a version. All throughout Asia and Europe, there's different versions of this. And it would be like, well, as we learned to become a nomad, as the nomads moved through and were like, you know, stereotyped as vicious hunters or whatever, the Dothraki, for instance, if you're a Game of Thrones fan and a mystical land, like, as they came through and wreaked havoc with their ability to, like, it would be like somebody landing a helicopter, you know, on an island that hasn't seen other humans before, and they'd be like, what the hell is that thing?
Yeah.
Same thing where they just come through and they're just brutally able to kill and be fast about it, and, like, the myth would instantly grow.
Do you ever think about so like the way that we talk about ancient cultures, right? Like ancient Greece, ancient Rome, the mythology that they created, right? Like less about the mythology, but more about like their actual society, their actual technology that existed. We have evidence of from, you know, raiding archaeological sites and things like that. Like sometimes I think because we are so. Everything is so well documented now. Everything about society exists on the internet, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, like, say, catastrophic, you know, end of times thing happens, and everything is buried and lost.
Yeah.
And future society discovers these things and starts to have to guess what was going on, or like maybe the remaining survivors have passed this like mythology, what basically becomes mythology, because you wouldn't have any way of verifying it other than, you know, discovering items and things like that. And then it's like, I always wonder, like, what are, you know, if there was no context to what we have and there wasn't the internet or something still around to explain it, or this shared, you know, consciousness, like the future mythology in the United States, well, somebody, or what used to be the United States, somebody was like, and the people of this area of the world had guns for hands, and
you know, we're so obsessed. Like, it's like
it's just interesting to think about, like, if there weren't context. And I think this is the difference now, is, I mean, not that ancient times didn't record and document the things, right? But like the documentation was lost, or, you know, very little of it has been discovered.
Yeah, or few people had the ability to document.
Exactly.
Like, as opposed to us now, where you can just say whatever you want at all time. You can dictate it into your phone and it'll transcribe
it for you. You can
literally
change reality on Wikipedia as it happens, right?
Or with goggles.
Sure, yeah, like, exactly, that too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, well, then all of that, like, we have this, like, maybe what's called a couple hundred years. When was the printing press invented? Late 1700s,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah.
Gutenberg. So, like, you have from there until, like, pretty much 2010, where books are the main method for having information, right?
1436 was when that was created.
Oh, because that's when the first Bibles and stuff. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. That sucks. I'm sorry to get that wrong. But, yeah, Gutenberg makes that in the 1400s. And then so between then and just recently, that's the, like, written history that we have left over, assuming that it doesn't all burn or fall apart because it's made on crappy material or whatever. Like, because if the AWS servers, if the machines just switch them off because they're going to overthrow us and they don't want us to have the information, like, how much of that information that we generate all the time now is, like, easy to delete?
Yeah.
Like, if the cloud doesn't exist anymore, how much of that is gone?
Or you just do like in the Land of Siege, where you legislate out the reality that you don't want to continue.
Yeah, like people
future.
Of color.
Right.
Great. Great
right. Or, yeah, just
that's
people
sarcasm,
of color.
I'm not.
Or, yeah, of course. Or gay people or anything, right? Like, you just say, we don't want anybody learning about that. So then it becomes lost to time, right? If that were to become the norm, you know, more culturally or universally, right?
Yeah. Well, that's where our culture is heading right now. But at least around the world, there's still record of it existing. Yeah. There's still that information is easily accessible in most places.
I'm just like, I want to know what they believe our mythology was. It's like the they look back and they're like, yeah, they had a half man, half gun. And they had a...
His name was Megatron. And he was the third dictator of the ancient times.
And their savior was this man named Shia LaBeouf.
I'm reading this book right now by Adrian Tchaikovsky called Children of Time, I think.
Yeah, we talked about it.
And and it's fascinating because the people that are in space, they're like on a life ship with all the rest of the humans on it. It's like a half a million people, and that's everybody, pretty much. And they've just gotten to somewhere else that the humans had reached before the great war that led to a ice age. And then they, like, over 1,000 years, rebuilt themselves. And then they went back to space again. And they found the people that had already gone out the first time. And the people that went out the first time were way smarter.
Mm.
And so it's just fascinating to, and they're like, well, we don't know how to speak that language, and it's humans still.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but we just don't have that information because of the Ice Age. We just lost it.
It's like what we talked about before about like how much would you pay to live in or to visit the year? I think what did we say 2100 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, what if you showed up and they spoke a completely different language, right?
Yeah. Or what if you showed up and there was nothing there and it was just like the whole Earth was covered in lava because a rock hit it at too high a speed, and so you just materialize in 2100, fall into the lava, game over. That would be so awesome. If I have to go, that's how it's got to be.
I mean, you just want to die in lava even now.
Yeah, for sure.
I read these sci-fi series, they're not great books, but okay. Basically the premise was that punishment for crime becomes that you get sent back to an alternate universe, but you get sent back into time where you're sent back to like the Jurassic period or the Mesozoic period, or you're sent back to these times where like you commit a crime, you're like, you're not killed, but you're sent to a time where you likely won't survive for very long, right?
Well, especially if the nitrogen levels were higher and you're
right.
You can't convert it into breathable.
What's funny is that they say like we can't control where on the Earth you end up, right? Like we can't control like the location. And so like one of the characters gets sent back, and he is sent back and he just like lands above the water. Because the Earth is set, like you're more likely to end up on the ocean than you are on like, you know, Hawaii.
When stuff was more like Pangaea or whatever. Yeah, it was like there was. Yeah, you ever Googled the Pacific Ocean and then pulled back far enough where all you see is ocean and you don't see any continents?
When you're in, if you are fortunate enough to be able to go to Hawaii or any of like the Pacific Islands, and you're out there and then you start to realize like if something. I mean, we were there and I was just thinking, I was like, if something catastrophic happened on the mainland United States, we would be safe here. But until we ran out of stuff, like where would we go? You know, like how would we leave? Right. And we were on not one of the more populated islands out there. And it's even more apparent when you're there, just like how remote it is. You know, it's like one thing to look off the horizon, but yeah, you're right. Like when you scale out on Google Maps and you're like, on Bing Maps, where you are, it's just like, oh my gosh, like I can't even float a boat far enough to get to other land. You know,
you ever see some of those Pacific waves, man? No, thank you.
Yeah,
that would be terrible. The English poet Robert Graves speculated that the centaurs were a dimly remembered pre-Hellenic fraternal earth cult. Pre-Hellenic means that last age of the Greeks when they like were really at their peak. If it was like the classical period before that or the archaic period before that, it was like they existed somewhere in there, which the numbers add up with like kind of that 500 BC era. So if they were... they're just a misremembered pre-Hellenic fraternal earth cult who had the horse as a totem. Mm. The Greeks' first phase was the archaic times when they were first assembling, and the lore dates back to then. So it could maybe bridge into the classical era, as I was saying. That doesn't seem, for some reason, that doesn't scratch the itch as well for me as like somebody misremembering something or misseeing something that is like also like frightening to them, like a man on a horse shooting at them with an arrow.
Well, because isn't the idea, and like maybe you maybe you looked into this because you're the one that's done all the research for the show, but maybe isn't there a thing where like centaurs, so like you look back in at like art and sculptures and things like that, where men like the like sculpture of David, right? Like it was depicted with a tiny wang. And it's because
normal being, wang.
Sorry, normal. He was hung like a pony. But it was because it was seen to have a big old wiener was seen as barbaric or animalistic, right? And so if you had a small penis, it meant that you were smarter or that you were more brilliant. And so isn't it also, didn't they also picture centaurs were seen as like barbaric and wild and like sexual, like they would come into town and steal women to them in the woods?
I think you're referring to Harry Potter.
No, I feel like it. I did not see Potter, and I know because I checked.
You also didn't see any trans centaurs because she is against that.
They're
chaos, right?
Yeah.
It's a warring creature that is remembered as being brutalistic. But it also depends on, I guess, probably where you come across it. Oh, here's something I just came across. Speaking of it, a centaur holding a bow is referred to as a
Botar. Bowflex.
Bowflex. Okay, that's perfect. A Sagittarius.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. I had no idea about that. Yeah, they're all over classical, medieval, and modern day literature. From the Chronicles of Narnia to dating way back to like a zillion years ago with Anthony the Great and the stories about Alexandria and all these things like from the ancient Egyptian times and whatnot. So, and they're in, they're Mycenaean art, and you see them depicted in reliefs, and they're frequent in not I guess they're probably not as frequent as other things or whatever, but they are you can find them throughout time. Right. They had an enemy, the centaurs did, and I find this to be odd, but it kind of makes sense.
Glue factories.
It was definitely the glue factory in Tacoma.
IKEA.
The centaurs are best known for their fight with the Lapiths, who, according to one origin myth, would have been cousins to the centaurs, possibly by Ixion, like one of his other children, I believe, is what I read. And so, but those children were human, and so the centaurs were fighting a human species.
Oh, yeah, Lapiths were just like people.
Yeah, just
a group of legendary people in Greek mythology who lived in Thessaly.
Yeah. And so, but they're descendants of Ixion, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, in myth or whatever.
Right.
So then we asked this question, a couple weeks ago. Almost all referenced centaurs are male. However, there are occasional depictions of females called centaurides or centaurides. I don't know how you would, I think it's centaurides. What
centaurides
do you think?
Seems right.
Or kentaurides. Yeah. Basically means women of the centaurs is what it is. And they're not totally missing, but they're also infrequently referenced. Like one might be the wife of one of the classic centaurs. There's about 60 of them mentioned throughout mythology. And you could just go to the Wikipedia to see a long list of all of them, but they're brought up like frequently through, not frequently, but like regularly is the right word.
Yeah.
Over the course of time. And so, it's not. Now, again, also, you're talking about like the archaic times of the Greeks were like hundreds of years long. And so, like, if you think about how far along we've come in a couple hundred years to still be talking about centaurs is pretty dope. So, I mean, here we are still thousands of years later talking about it. So
I mean, it's like, it's something about the. I don't know. I mean, like, humans have always had like an obsession with horses, right?
Yeah.
Some more than others, apparently. It makes sense that like something like a centaur would kind of permeate culture, even today, right?
Well, and it's just like that idea of like it's magic. It's a magic creature that combining.
Now, see, like, if I was creating myth back in the day,
It's fanfic now, but yeah.
Sure, it's called fanfic now. Yeah. you know, that's a nice way of like this centaurs were just Greek fan fiction.
Darth Vader erected his red rocket lightsaber.
This guy was just like sitting in his like hut in, I don't know, in Greece, and was like, oh yeah. And then like My Little Pony and this guy got together, and now and that's where centaurs came from.
Excuse me, they say mounted one another.
They mounted each other. It's like those two simian monkeys through a 9mm hole. I don't know if I would have gone for. Now look, I grew up in a somewhat rural, but definitely more suburban area. But there were pastures and things like that around, and so you saw horses and llamas and alpacas and all sorts of stuff where I lived, right? And I still don't know if I were creating the mythology now, if I would have gone for a half man, half horse. I still think I would have gone for half bear pig.
Yeah, yeah, you would have been like robot, like jet. You would have had like Starscream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's what we have to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was going to go with an animal, though, I think I'd go like man, half bear, half man, half bear pig, half man, half like turtle. I don't know, something cool.
I love giraffes, and my friend Maggie coined the term: if you take a Pegasus and a giraffe and give it wings, you get a giraffesis. So that's where I would go, like some sort of flying, like flying giraffe monster would be
flying
so
giraffe.
Awesome.
Just like
it's basically a dragon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like we used to super call long neck.
Yeah, we used
wings.
To call dragons. We used to call giraffes earth dragons, like, incapable of flight, but they've got all the other parts that you need or whatever. They don't need the long tail for balance anymore.
They breathe fire. That tracks.
All right, finally with the centaurs, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that lunar dust. No, that's the different thing. Finally with the centaurs, when people are referencing centaurs, there's three other things that commonly come up according to Wikipedia that sent me this far. The Minotaur, which is the back bull legs. This one's more like Darth Maul with a bull head. Like it's got like different legs than it does post lightsaber Darth Maul.
It's got like the bull legs, like the rear legs of the bull, the body of a man, and then the head of a bull?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the body of like a big boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a Brock Lesnar with half Brock Lesnar, half...
Yeah, half bull. So just Brock Lesnar.
From North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and... what were the other things that came up? The satyr? I don't know what that is. No,
that's the what I was trying to think of. Satyr is like half man, half goat.
Whoa, this thing has a giant erection.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So the satyrs were seen as like a
fertility?
Like a fertility creature. And like they were like, that's like
look
why.
This one playing a flute. You're
do you ever cute. Watch? You ever watch the Hercules, like the animated Hercules where Danny DeVito plays the satyr? He's the voice of the satyr. And, oh gosh, I hope I got that right. I think it was Danny DeVito because they like definitely went for the likeness of Danny DeVito. But he's just like, he's like horny all the time.
But he plays a flute? That's pretty neat. Like,
yeah, you know.
Oh, there's a giant. He must be a beast according to their standards because my God.
That's like Pan.
Oh my God, that's inappropriate. Wow. Oh, there's a lady one. No, that might actually be a
Philoctetes is a satyr and Hercules trainer. Please tell me it was played by Danny DeVito. Thank goodness.
Okay, clear. And then the other one that comes up a lot with this is from Greek and Roman mythology, the Harpy, the half-human, half-bird personification of storm winds. And the Harpies, I remember there being a famous story about three Harpies versus somebody or other, and I can't remember it at all, despite the fact that I went to school for classical art and architecture.
The thing that you and I both got 100% in Greek mythology in college. I think it was one of the stories from Odysseus's Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's got to be.
Yeah.
That's got to be part
of it. That show I was telling you about earlier, the What We Do in the Shadows, there's a very... funny they weave in a lot of other mythology and
about Steve
like
Aoki.
About Steve Aoki going to space. They bring in werewolves and But then they also bring in like a harpy because they go sailing and they end up on an island, and then there's a harpy that drew them there. But it's just like, she's just like a bird. She's a lady with bird legs. She just throws up food. She's just very disgusting.
What family are werewolves from? Like, what are they called? Like lupines or something?
Oh,
like
sure. Yeah, yeah.
Werewolf lupine? Is that
lupus.
What it is? Lupines. Yeah, the lupine has blue and white flattened. What? That's a flower? No. I don't think that's what I'm asking.
Because like Lupin. Lupin was like the professor in Harry Potter.
Lupine comes from lupus, Latin for wolf.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, lupus.
Wow. My friend's mom had lupus. She did not turn into a werewolf.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, bummer, right? She had like a way worse time than that. That was too bad.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right, well, let's end on a positive note. No, I don't really have anything positive to end on. All right, what did we learn this week, Brandon?
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. I learned that you apparently want to smoke your space weed through a pee hole. With okay. Steve Aoki? Steve Aoki's pee hole. No, not his pee hole, his pee hole.
I think I should change that to tube. Let's just go ahead and make
that. Yeah, P-tube.
P-tube. There we go.
I guess that's better.
I learned that I'm better at improv fanfic than Brandon.
Ouch.
I just kept coming up with the words that you needed that made it more interesting. I think that you could write better than I can, but it's in the moment there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else did you learn this week?
I learned that I don't remember. I learned that at least it's a horse penis. Like, that's what you get if you're gonna be a centaur. You know, you get like the good parts of the human, and I guess the good parts of being a horse. But does it also mean that you just like pee like a fire hose? You ever seen a horse pee?
Oh yeah, but they just got a lot more to come out. Like right. I've seen my 5-year-old pee, and he can pee like that. Like
dude, so do you have a horse bladder?
Yeah, but you also have a man bladder, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, you have man lungs, but you also have
horse. So does your top
lungs?
Half take a dump into your bottom half, and then the bottom half kicks it out?
So I think your human centaur peed actually carries a lot of weight here. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk,
yeah! I don't know if I should thank you or apologize or what, but thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus. We do this every Tuesday morning on the Odyssey app at 10 a.m. or available as a download from the Odyssey app or whatever your podcast provider of choice is. I'm Gregor, he's Brandon. Thanks.
Do you think that when we do the episode about cricket, there will be as much debauchery?
Of course.
Okay, good. I mean,
probably less horse, but like...
Maybe. Where do you think they get those bats?
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they're all over classical, medieval, and modern-day literature, from the Chronicles of Narnia to dating way back to like a zillion years ago with Anthony the Great and the stories about Alexandria and all these things like from the ancient Egyptian times and whatnot. So, and they're in they're Mycenaean art, and you see them depicted in reliefs, and they're frequent in. Not. I guess they're probably not as frequent as other things or whatever, but they are. You can find them throughout time. Right. They had an enemy, the centaurs did, and I find this to be odd, but it kind of makes sense.
Glue factories.
It was definitely the glue factory in Tacoma.
IKEA.
The centaurs are best known for their fight with the Lapiths, who, according to one origin myth, would have been cousins to the centaurs, possibly by Ixion, like one of his other children, I believe, is what I read. And so, but those children were human, and so the centaurs were fighting a human species.
Oh, yeah, Lapiths were just like people.
Yeah, just
a group of legendary people in Greek mythology who lived in Thessaly.
Yeah. And so, but they're descendants of Ixion, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, in myth or whatever.
Right, right, right.
So then we asked this question, a couple weeks ago. Almost all referenced centaurs are male. However, there are occasional depictions of females called centaurides or centaurides. I don't know how you would, I think it's centaurides. What
centaurides
do you think?
Seems right.
Or centaurides, yeah. Basically means women of the centaurs is what it is. And they're not totally missing, but they're also infrequently referenced. Like one might be the wife of one of the classic centaurs. There's about 60 of them mentioned throughout mythology. And you could just go to the Wikipedia to see a long list of all of them, but they're brought up like frequently through, not frequently, but like regularly is the right word.
Yeah.
Over the course of time. And so, it's not. Now, again, also, you're talking about like the archaic times of the Greeks were like hundreds of years long. And so, like, if you think about how far along we've come in a couple hundred years to still be talking about centaurs is pretty dope. So, I mean, here we are still thousands of years later talking about it. So
I mean, it's like, it's something about the. I don't know. I mean, like, humans have always had like an obsession with horses, right?
Yeah.
Some more than others, apparently. It makes sense that like something like a centaur would kind of permeate culture,
yeah,
even today, right?
Well, and it's just like that idea of like it's magic. It's a magic creature that combining.
Now, yeah. See, like if I was creating myth,
yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, it's fanfic now, but yeah.
Sure, it's called fanfic now. Yeah. that's a nice way of like this centaurs were just Greek fanfiction.
Darth Vader erected his red rocket lightsaber.
Gross. This guy was just like sitting in his like hut in Greece and was like, "Oh yeah." And then like My Little Pony and this guy got together and now and that's where centaurs came from.
Excuse me, they say mounted one another.
They mounted each other. It's like those two simian monkeys through a 9mm hole. I don't know if I would have gone for. Now look, I grew up in a somewhat rural but definitely more suburban area, but there were pastures and things like that around, and so you saw horses and llamas and alpacas and all sorts of stuff where I lived, right? And I still don't know if like if I were creating the mythology now, if I would have gone for a half man half horse. I still think I would have gone for like,
yeah, you have
half
TikTok,
man
though.
Half bear pig.
Yeah, yeah, you would have been like like Jet. You would have had like Starscream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's what we have to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was going to go with an animal, though, I think I'd go like half man, half bear, half man, half bear pig, half turtle. I don't know, something cool.
I love giraffes, and my friend Maggie coined the term, if you take a Pegasus and a giraffe and give it wings, you get a giraffesis. So that's where I would go, like some sort of flying, like...
Yeah.
Flying giraffe monster would be
flying
so
flying giraffe
awesome.
Just
it's
like
basically a dragon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like we used super to call long neck.
Yeah, we used
wings.
To call dragons. We used to call giraffes earth dragons, incapable of flight, but they've got all the other parts that you need or whatever. They don't need the long tail for balance anymore.
They breathe fire. That tracks.
All right, finally with the centaurs, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that lunar dust. No, that's the different thing. Finally with the centaurs, when people are referencing centaurs, there's three other things that commonly come up according to Wikipedia that sent me this far. The Minotaur, which is the back bull legs. This one's more like Darth Maul with a bull head. Like it's got like different legs than it does post lightsaber Darth Maul.
It's got like like the bull legs, like the rear legs of the bull, the body of a man, and then the head of a bull?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the body of like a big boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a Brock Lesnar with with half Brock Lesnar, half
half bull. so just Brock Lesnar.
From North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and what were the other things that came up? The satyr? I don't know what that is.
That's the what I was trying to think of. Satyr is like half man, half goat.
Whoa, this thing has a giant erection.
Yeah,
so.
So the satyrs were seen as like a
fertility?
Like a fertility creature, and like they were like that's like
look at
why
this one playing a flute. You're
do you ever watch the Hercules, like the animated Hercules, where Danny DeVito plays the satyr? He's the voice of the satyr, and oh gosh, I hope I got that right. I think it was Danny DeVito, because they like definitely went for the likeness of Danny DeVito. But he's just like, yeah, he's like horny all the time,
but he plays a flute. That's pretty neat. Like,
yeah, you know,
oh, there's a giant. He must be a beast, according to their standards, because, my God.
That's like Pan.
Oh, my God, that's inappropriate. Wow! Oh, there's a lady one. No, that might actually be a...
Philoctetes is a satyr and Hercules trainer. Please tell me it was played by... Danny DeVito, thank goodness.
Okay, clear. And then the other one that comes up a lot with this is from Greek and Roman mythology, the harpy, the half-human, half-bird personification of storm winds. And the harpies, I remember there being a famous story about three harpies versus somebody or other, and I can't remember it at all, despite the fact that I went to school for classical art and architecture.
The thing that you and I both got 100% in Greek mythology in college. I think it was one of the stories from Odysseus's Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's got to be.
Yeah.
That's got to be. That
show I was telling you about earlier, the What We Do in the Shadows, there's a very... funny, they weave in a lot of other mythology and
about Steve Aoki,
like about Steve Aoki going to space. They bring in werewolves but then they also bring in like a harpy because they go sailing and they end up on an island, and then there's a harpy that drew them there. But it's just like she's just like a bird, she's a lady with bird legs, she just throws up food, she's just very disgusting.
What family are werewolves from? Like, what are they called? Like lupines or something?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Werewolf lupine? Is that
Lupus.
What it is? Lupines. Yeah, the lupine has blue and white flat. And what? That's a flower? No. I don't think that's what I'm asking.
Because like Lupin. Lupin was like the professor in Harry Potter.
Lupine comes from lupus, Latin for wolf.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, lupus.
Wow. My friend's mom had lupus. She did not turn into a werewolf.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, bummer, right? She had like a way worse time than that. That was too bad.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right, well, let's end on a positive note. No, I don't really have anything positive to end on. All right, what did we learn this week, Brandon?
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. I learned that you apparently want to smoke your space weed through a pee hole. With Steve Aoki? Steve Aoki's pee hole. No. Not his pee hole, his pee hole.
I think I should change that to tube. Let's just go ahead and make
that. P-tube.
P-tube. There we go.
I guess that's better.
I learned that I'm better at improv fanfic than Brandon.
Ouch.
I just kept coming up with the words that you needed that made it more interesting. I think that you could write better than I can, but it's in the moment there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else did you learn this week?
I learned that I don't remember. I learned that at least it's a horse penis. Like, that's what you get if you're gonna be a centaur. You know, you get like the good parts of the human, and I guess the good parts of being a horse. But does it also mean that you just like pee like a fire hose? You ever seen a horse pee?
Oh yeah, but they just got a lot more to come out. Like I've seen my 5-year-old pee, and he can pee like that. Like,
dude,
it's
like yeah. So do you have a horse bladder?
Yeah, but you also have a man bladder, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, you have man lungs, but you also have
horse. So does your top
lungs?
Half take a dump into your bottom half, and then the bottom half kicks it out?
So I think your human centaur peed actually carries a lot of weight here. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Well, I don't know if I should thank you or apologize or what, but thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus. We do this every Tuesday morning on the Odyssey app at 10 a.m. or available as a download from the Odyssey app or whatever your podcast provider of choice is. I'm Gregor, he's Brandon. Thanks.
Do you think that when we do the episode about cricket, there will be as much debauchery?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Probably less horse, but like...
Maybe. Where do you think they get those bats?